The scripture reading for today is John 3, 14 through 21. This is the New International Version. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The words of God for the people of God. Blessed be the words.
Amen. This is possibly one of the very best known passages of scripture, particularly the third verse that Dana read for us. It actually comes up twice in the lectionary, and it starts just before John 3:16, which we mostly know, and goes down. And the other time it appears in the lectionary, it is the end of the reading that starts with the visit of Nicodemus to Jesus. And there's so many sermons that can be preached from these verses. I'm actually not going to focus on John 3:16 on its own today, in spite of the temptation. The readings that we are given for this morning, this week, are difficult. They are challenging. They are complex. And so it might seem really easy to just pick out that one verse and go with that. I'm not going to do that. I am going to do what Jesus did, because the first part of this reading is Jesus talking to Nicodemus in response to his questions. Nicodemus has come and is questioning Jesus, not aggressively, but respectfully, because things don't make sense to him. And so part of the response of Jesus to Nicodemus is this verse that may not be familiar to you, and it may refer to a story that's not familiar to you. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What the heck does that mean? Now we know from what comes after and from our perspective all these thousands of years later, that Jesus is referring to the cross. In terms of his conversation with Nicodemus, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Moses and the serpent. Okay, Moses and the serpent is a story out of Numbers, which is possibly not the most exciting and adventurous book in the Bible. It's largely full of statistical reports. That's why it's called Numbers. But it does have a few really interesting stories. Really interesting stories. This is one of them. And the context for this story is the people of Israel were complaining. This, by the way, is one of our other lectionary readings, so they've made that connection for us. It's Numbers 21. The people were complaining because they had come out of Egypt, which was God saving them, and they were hungry and out of food. So they were complaining, and God gave them manna. So God is saving them again. And then they start complaining again because they are bored with the manna, because that's keeping them alive, but it's not very entertaining food after you've been living on it for a few years. And so they're complaining again. And the response here is, all of a sudden, there are these poisonous snakes that are biting them. And if you think about the snake, the serpent, you might think about another Old Testament story way back in the beginning, where the serpent is the tempter. The serpent is the one who is deceiving. And the snakes here are biting the people, and they are poisonous snakes, and the people are dying. So once again, they are in difficulty. And it's their own fault. And they cry out to God again. And here is God's solution. Okay, Moses, make a bronze snake. Go out and sculpt a snake and put it up on a pole and have people look at it. Now, if that's not the weirdest cure in the world, look at an image of the thing that's biting and killing you. Just look at it and be saved. That's a pretty weird story. And that story persists in lots of ways, because that image of the snake up on the pole, that's a medical symbol that we still use. You see that all over the place. Here's this pole, here's this snake on it, or two snakes or whatever. Sarah may be able to set me straight, but that's where that comes from. So this is part of our culture as a healing thing. And yet, this is the image of the very poisonous serpents that are killing them. Now, that sounds really weird to us when we read that story from Numbers. And when we read that line from John, we may just skip over it. Nicodemus was paying attention. Nicodemus was trying to figure out who Jesus was and what he meant. And this story would have made perfect sense to Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He knew his history. He knew his scripture. He knew about the bronze serpent on the snake, Moses as the great prophet who lifted this up so that all could see it. And they were saved. They were healed. One thing about that word in the Greek is that the word for saved and the word for healed are the same thing. To be saved is to be healed. It's to be healed not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, all the ways that we can be healed. Now, there's lots been written about how these snakes represent the people's sin. They certainly represent, they are adversaries. So the people are being told to look at this thing that may represent their sins, certainly represents their adversaries, and that they would be healed. So we have the curse of the serpent become the blessing of the healing. And now I want to take you to something that Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen to that again. God made Jesus to be sin. The Son of God, the perfect human being, Jesus of Nazareth, absolutely sinless, made to be sin, and hung on a cross to die. So what we may know more than we know about the bronze serpent is that the cross was an instrument of execution by the Roman government. It represented pain, torture. It represented humiliation. It represented death. It represented a painful, miserable, shameful death. And scripture says that anybody who is put on a tree is cursed. So the curse of the snakes has become the blessing of healing. And then Paul tells us many years later that the blessing of Jesus has become the curse of the cross. We also know that the cross of Jesus is healing for us. The gospel goes on to say that the light has come into the world, and people have preferred darkness. And John's gospel is all about light. It starts with light. It goes through light and how light must shine. We don't hide our light under a bushel. We let it shine for all to see, because light enables us to see. Light exposes that which is hidden. Think about having a secret that might be shameful, might be damaging, might be anything. You don't want people to know. You're going to keep that hidden. You're going to go to all kinds of lengths to keep that hidden. You may not want to go to the doctor because you suspect that something is really wrong, but you're going to hide that. You don't want the doctor to put his light on that and say, "Is this bad? This is a bad disease." If you do that, if you let that come to the light, then it's open for healing. Then the doctor can say, "We have medicine for this. We have surgery for this. We have treatment that can make the disease go away and that can let you continue to live and be healthy." There's healing that comes from the light. If you have a wound, you can cover it up with Band-Aid. I've been doing this a lot lately. I have a bad habit of picking up a sharp implement in this hand and cutting something in this hand. And sometimes I get my hand as well. So then you stop the blood, you do all those things that you need to do, and you want to keep it, covered up and hidden and safe and protected. And yet, when you take that bandage off, when you open it up to the light and the air, it heals. When it becomes visible, it's healed. When our sins become visible, that's the whole point of confession. That's what Lent is about, is letting the light shine in the dark places of our lives so that we can see, and so that God, who sees anyway, can also show us the way to be healed. So Nicodemus was trying to figure out what Jesus was talking about, and a lot of people were trying to figure out what Jesus was about, and we have the advantage. Nicodemus understood the story of the bronze serpent better than we do. We understand the story of the cross. When you think about it, somebody who doesn't know that story will think it's just as ridiculous as putting a bronze snake on a pole. What do you mean? A cross. A cross, this instrument of torture and death, and you all, you crazy people, you wear it around your neck, you put it up in your churches. What is this? It's a symbol of healing. We know the story. We know what happened on the cross, and we know what happened after the cross. And so for us, it represents love and victory and power. and healing. There's quite a few people on this Zoom this morning who have been participating in the Lent study, and I give you all credit for attending that, taking part in that, letting the light shine in places in our lives that we might prefer to keep in the dark, because that's what we're about. And one of the things that the author talks about is how the human response is fight or flight. And we can see that in the story of ancient Israel. They'd escaped from Egypt. They were in flight. And they tended to fight with God when they got unhappy with things. It was either fight or flight with them. It normally is fight or flight with us who are human. But our writer tells us that there is a third way, and that's God's way. And that's the way of love and healing and restoring wholeness, both to ourselves and to others. God is with us when we do that scary thing of facing our enemies or our adversaries. So we are called, like Nicodemus, like the disciples, like everyone, to face ourselves and our sin, but especially to look to Jesus, crucified and risen, to see the truth, because the truth will set us free and heal us and save us. Thanks be to God. Amen.